Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, a podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start. I am your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined, as always, by Bailey Von Schneider. Bailey, we've got ourselves a nice little streak going.
We do. I love going streaking.
I think the last time we did a podcast, Red Sox were still in fourth place. That is no longer the case. They are now in second place after a nice little seven-game win streak. So let's dive on in to recapping the series versus the Guardians. Game one, Battle of the Canadians. Nick Pivetta versus Cal Quantrill. Red Sox get the win 6-3. Pivetta, seven innings pitched, two runs, both earned, nine hits, no walks, four Ks. Wasn't his best start, as we've seen, but still very effective. Schreiber followed. Was nails again, lowering his ERA to 0.81, and then Hauk finished it off. Rough inning for him. Wasn't a save situation, but he did get in there. It was a four-run game at the time. Gave up three hits and a run, a couple strikeouts, but closed the door. Devers and Arroyo both had big days at the plate. Both homered. Arroyo had three hits and three RBIs. Devers, Verdugo, and Story all had two hits apiece. What were your thoughts on Pivetta's outing?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, once again, he looked really good. I mean, even when it wasn't his best stuff or the best outing, the fact is he battled through seven innings, you know, two earned runs, nine hits, didn't walk anybody, which is absolutely incredible. You know, four Ks. I mean, you can't really ask for much more than what the Red Sox are getting from Nick Pivetta. Like, truthfully, it's been very impressive after it started. You know, the first few starts were a little rocky, so I am pleasantly impressed with how great he has been this season.
Yeah, and this is kind of how you know he's in for one of those years, because I mean, more often than not after that start, he's been just incredibly stellar. But even when he's not, he's still really effective and gets wins, like working around nine hits, only struck out four this time. Was still able to get through seven, only allowing two runs. Obviously kept the Red Sox in and giving them a chance to win. He's still incredibly effective, even when he doesn't have his best stuff. And that's when you know guys are really feeling it. And he has certainly been feeling it for quite some time. Over the last month, building on the great pitching, the Red Sox starting pitching has been the best in the American League and nearly the best in all the majors. And that's even with injuries to Whitlock and Eovaldi. How has the pitching been able to get better and better, even in this next man-up situation they've been in?
It is so impressive, because, like, before we jumped on here, we were just chatting briefly, and it's like, yeah, they haven't missed a beat. Like, and you're saying your ace went down. Whitlock, who, you know, he's been trying to figure out things, but even in the starting role, he's been very solid for most of the starts. And, yeah, you're having people like, you know, Josh Winkowski pitch pretty darn well for the Red Sox, and Pivetta really stepping up to the plate. Waka, you know, just continues to be great. Like, we got a great start from Hill today. It's truly like the next man up is working so well for them, and I've been so impressed with the starting pitch. It's crazy.
Yeah, the depth has really been key, and that's like the old saying is, like, you can never have too much pitching. And that's the Red Sox for the longest time now, over the past few years, have really not had any depth in the upper minors to really bail them out in case situations like this happened. And now they do. And it really shows you what a difference that makes because it really is all the difference in the world. having guys that can step up and give you three or four starts to cover when someone's out and keep the momentum that you had going and, you know, help build on your success and help leap you from fourth place to second place in the division and to the third place in the American League. So that's a huge help.
Yeah.
Really nice to see.
Absolutely. And that pretty much goes into, you know, game two. Josh Winkowski, you know, gets the call versus Shane Bieber, you know, and, you know, Winkowski, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Really, what more could you ask from Josh Winkowski? He's impressed me in this, what he's been doing so far this season. And then we had Diekman, Schreiber, Strom, and Hauk finish it off with 3 2/3 scoreless frames. You know, Hauk tallied his 6th save of the year. So I think, you know, outside of, you know, being in Canada, I guess we could say that this is our closer for sure. And I'm glad that they finally figured that out. The Red Sox had 10 hits as a team, with Jaron Duran having 4. Pilecki added 2 hits, and Verdugo had, that was a beautiful 3-run bomb. Like, that just hung, and he just mashed it. It was beautiful. But I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on Winkowski?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right at the top, that depth being a big, big thing there. Winkowski, after his first spot start that he got there, it kind of a mixed bag in the stat line. A lot of the damage came right before he got pulled, which was, I believe, the third time through the order, or it was right before, it was like a fourth inning or so. So batters had seen him, gotten a look, and then kind of started to get some hits on him. And after the game, Cora was really happy with what he saw. Even though the line didn't look great, he was like, we got a major leaguer here. He looked really good, and he's not going to, you know, he's not going to be back in AAA for all that long. Obviously, he's back. We got injuries, so he was called upon again. And ever since then, he's rattled off 3 straight wins in the 3 starts that he's gotten since, and he's looked pretty good. 2 runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, like you said. It was a really effective, economical start that got through a pretty decent Guardians lineup. That's the kind of depth you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. I loved... Like, you know, of course, there'll still be people salty about, you know, the Benintendi trade. But, I mean, you're already just seeing the value that you got. Like, Winkowski was never – it's like you didn't trade for an ace because he's not. And it was like you're giving away Andrew Benintendi, so you're not necessarily going to get an ace back. But you're getting somebody who's proving that they can maybe be a pretty solid starting pitcher at the major league level. And, like, what more could you ask for, you know? And then Franchy Cordero has also been contributing well. So, like, this trade is starting to really come together nicely for the Red Sox. And like you said, they lacked depth. This is one of the things that Chaim knew. I had a piece, and I can start to build my depth. So I think that's really impressive. I think that's been really impressive. But, of course, one of the last things to touch on for, you know, game two was Jaron Duran just been like a possessed person out there, especially in the leadoff spot. I think that it means he's probably going to be here to stay. He obviously, I believe, will not also be going to Toronto. So we'll see after, you know, 3 days off, him back in the lineup, you know, when we're out of Toronto. That's going to take a hit because he had been like a spark plug right up at the top. So, you know, unfortunately, the decisions people make, some of it, you know, can have repercussions on the team. We'll see that with losing our leadoff guy and our closer while we're in Toronto. So it's going to put the Red Sox at a disadvantage because I believe, he's been playing so well that I think he's here to stay. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, this stretch is incredible. I mean, after the 4-hit game, and then 2 hits that he had today, is batting like 330 now, 327. And he's also drawing walks. He's having big boy at bats. He had 2 steals and 3 attempts in this series. He is flying all over the diamond. He's been tremendous.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is any reason why he shouldn't stay here. And then also coupled with Jackie Bradley Jr. is a mess at the plate right now and is like 0 for 19 in a stretch, which is really tough.
Yeah.
WRC plus is, I think, around a 60.
Oh, Jackie. I want him to be better.
Yeah, which really means these at-bats need to be going to Duran. I mean, obviously, the defensive upgrade that you get having JBJ in the field, I think you need to put Jackie Bradley in the bench role as that fourth outfielder, get Duran these everyday at-bats, and you pointed out, really hope taking these 3 days off doesn't lose that spark and cool him down. But, you know, only time will tell.
True.
So, on to game three. Red Sox get the win 8-3. Rich Hill versus Aaron Civale. Rich Hill with 6 innings pitch, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. Brazier, Robles, and Houck for the third straight day finished it off. 15 hits for the Red Sox, multi-hit games all around. 3 from Devers, 3 from JD Martinez, 2 from Story, Duran, Verdugo, and Vasquez. And even with all that hot offense, the Red Sox left a season-high 30 men on base. So they could have been even better.
Mm-hmm.
But what were what were your thoughts on Hill's start?
I mean, again, the 4 walks are a little, like, he was a little wild. Like, at first, you know, he had some clutch double plays behind him to really get him out of some trouble. But again, what more could we ask from, like, Rich Hill? 6 innings of 1-run baseball. Like, really could not ask more. Again, playing a good team. Like, the Guardians are a darn good team. They have one of the best third basemen, if not the best third baseman, in the game on their team. You know, like, this is a good team, whether or not their payroll is super high. So I think he did a tremendous job, really.
Yeah, completely agree. A bit high on the pitch count, like you mentioned, with the walks. But still, even as, you know, he made it through that 5 1/3, it was only at 83, so he was pretty economical. 51 for strikes. So the balls you were throwing were basically just the men that he walked.
Yeah.
was so still able to get through those 6 innings pretty effectively. And probably could have gone out there for at least one more inning.
True.
But the game at that point was a little bit tight. I thought Hill's start was great, and like you mentioned, for the role that he's playing right now, that's exactly what you're looking for. Lastly, Houck got in some more work, 3 straight days, this time in a non-save situation. And as we've already talked about, he is unvaccinated, so he is not going to Toronto. So, for the bullpen, who should be on standby for save situations, or is it just going to be a, you know, saves by committee, just trying to get to that 27th out any way you can kind of situation?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but I think that potentially Cora came out and said that Schreiber would be getting save situations in Toronto, which that's fantastic. If so, he has been, we'll talk about a diamond in the rough. But I would say my two would be Schreiber for sure. I think he's earned it. Or Strom. Strom is, you know, he had a little dicey in, I believe, game 2 of the series, or maybe it was 1, I'm not sure. But, like, outside of that, like, he's been pretty solid for the Red Sox this season. So I would say those would be my go-to guys for that final, you know, 3 outs.
Yeah, Schreiber for me is the one. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, it's just kind of do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
But I would give Schreiber first crack, and I would feel pretty darn good about it.
Yeah.
MVP of the series, who you got?
Jaron Duran. I mean, he's just, like I said, we talked about him playing his way into, I believe, an everyday role, you know, so that's fantastic. It's going to be interesting when Kike comes back, which I don't even know. It could be a while, it seems. Yeah, like you said, so, like, at this point, Jackie Bradley Jr. has to almost play because you are losing Kike. But when Kike does come back, I think JBJ, like you just did say, I think he should be riding the pine. You know, love you, JBJ. You're such a great human being, but and one of the best defensive outfielders I've ever seen. But the bat is lacking, unfortunately, for him.
Yep. I went with Duran as well. 6 hits and a couple steals. Just the
so
spark
fast
that he had at the top. Yeah. God,
I mean, it's
fast.
Perfect. If he can keep playing like this, like, this could be potentially one of the best leadoff people that they've had since, like, I don't know, Jacoby Ellsbury, like somebody who just perfectly fits that role, you know, if he can keep playing at this level.
He had a hit today, one of his double that he hit today, mm-hmm. that I thought off the bat immediately was like a stand-up triple, but Vasquez was running in front of him, and he had rounded second, like he was about to keep
to
going,
go to
and
third,
then saw that Vasquez had not moved yet. I was like, oh, damn it, I gotta go back.
One of the slowest people is just getting in your way. It'd be worse. It's like the two, JD Martinez or Vasquez being in front of you while you're trying to get that triple.
Yep, exactly. Oh, all right, Red Sox get the sweep. We'll take a quick break, come back, and preview series against the Blue Jays.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, you are up to the minute standings in the American League East. New York Yankees in first place at 53-20. Boston Red Sox in second place, 42-31, 11 games back. Blue Jays at 40-32, 12.5 back. Rays also at 40-32, 12.5 back. And then Orioles at 19.5 back. Just worth noting that it was not that long ago the Red Sox were behind the Orioles, and they are now third in the American League East.
Yeah. It's they've been playing so well now.
Or sorry. Yeah. Second in the American League East, third in the American League itself.
That's true. That is true. I mean, and you can't it's hilarious to me though with how like they're great. They're playing really, really, really great baseball. Unfortunately, they had a slower start, but now everything's evening out. It's just when you look at it and you're like, oh, they're still 11 games out of their division. That's just because the Yankees have just been playing historically out of their minds. Yeah. You know, the Red Sox are good. They're damn good. They'd be leading their division if they were in, you know, they'd be leading a division if it just wasn't the American League East, you know?
Yeah, I also saw on Twitter, someone had posted that in the history of Major League Baseball, there were two teams that had a record of exactly 41-31 and went on to win the World Series, and they were the 1918 Red Sox and the 2008 Red Sox. So,
love it.
A little foreshadowing there, maybe. So, all right. Previewing pitching matchups here against Toronto. Technically, tomorrow's starter is TBD, but all signs point to Connor Siebold, so we're going to pencil that in. Connor Siebold versus Kevin Gausman, Game 2, Walker versus Stripling. Game 3, Pivetta versus Manoa. How do we feel about those matchups?
I feel pretty good about that. I think Game 2, Walker Stripling. Nothing about Stripling. Like, he's not great. So, I think that could be an easy win. It will get a little more difficult, Game 1 and 3. It'd be interesting to see Siebold. He doesn't have overwhelmingly good stuff, but he can pitch well when his pitches are working for him. So if everything's working well, it could be good. It's just you're going against a juggernaut of a lineup, so it's going to be a hell of a test. Gausman, I feel like it could be hit or miss. He could be great. He cannot be so great. I think Manoa is going to be the most difficult one, but thankfully in that one, you know, the Red Sox have one of their better pitchers going. So I think it's going to be a good series. It's going to be difficult, but I believe in this team. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to that third game. The Stripling one, I'm not as positive about because he's actually having a really good year this year.
Is he?
It's 3.08 ERA, 43 strikeouts and 52 and 2/3 inning, 1.06 whip.
Weird.
He's been a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was bad last season.
He was. He was very bad.
Yeah.
He was kind of, he was like almost out of a job last year. Yeah. Really turned it around.
Well, good for him, but I hope he has a bad start against us.
Yeah. I think this is, they're putting their best three against the Red Sox here. And we've got, you know, the best two that we can go here with, and then also Connor Siebold. But I mean, you made make a great point about Kevin Kowski. He's been really up and down. Overall, his numbers look pretty decent, but that's because he's really been super hot or super cold, and it's kind of just leveled out. So we'll see how it ends up going there. Obviously, he's going to rack up a bunch of strikeouts, but I think they end up in. I'm not exactly sure how it goes. Maybe the Red Sox are able to win the Connor Siebold one, and then ends up being a, I don't know. It just feels like they're going to split the first two, and then it's going to come down to Pivetta versus Manoah. And as good as Manoah's been, Red Sox don't do that bad against him. They tend to stay in games, and they tend to be low scoring. And I just feel good enough about the offense that I feel they've been playing well enough that taking two out of three against Toronto feels good.
Yeah,
feel confident in it.
So, yeah, me too.
As you mentioned, the lineup, always tough. George Springer leading off, Bo Bichette second, Vlad Guerrero Jr. third, Alejandro Kirk, who's been a man on fire.
Yeah.
Batting cleanup, Teoscar Hernandez fifth, Santiago Espinal sixth, Matt Chapman seventh, Lourdes Gurriel eighth, Raimel Tapia. I feel like I never pronounced that correct. Batting ninth, Lourdes Gurriel in the eighth hole. That's a damn good lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great lineup. Not a lot of
easy outs.
Yeah, they're playing well, clearly, like 40-32, nothing to sneeze at. But I thought they would be better than they have been playing. I thought that they'd be more like Yankee level of, like, I mean, what the Yankees are doing is just historically, like, insane. But still, I thought that they would be, like, leading. I think I picked them to win the division, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Lourdes Gurriel is batting .284 with a .340 OBP in the eighth hole.
And he's an eighth. Oh my God. Yeah, that is an embarrassment of riches, that lineup in Toronto, for sure.
Yeah, that's a little much. That's a little much. Great. So, yeah. But, I mean, to the surprise of no one, they have a really good offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there we go. I think we both have... what was your prediction for MVP?
Yeah, I have Waka. I think Waka's going to go out there and just have another really great game for himself. I really do. Especially if he goes out there and he does well against the Blue Jays. I mean, I've already bought into how well he has been playing, but I think I'll really just be like, damn.
Yeah. I went with Pivetta. So I kind of tipped my hand there thinking it's going to come down to that game three. And Pivetta out-dueling Manoah. So I'm going to go with Pivetta as my MVP. So thanks for listening. We have some other great pods that come out here on this network. We got the Red Seat that Jake and I do. Got the Prospect Pod that Bob does. And all bunch of other stuff that keeps coming out. So keep your earbuds tuned in. Dropping stuff all the time. You can find both of us at Over the Monster. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. Bailey, what you got?
Yeah, just follow me over on Twitter. I got lots of podcasts. I'm starting to get back into doing some things with Pesky Report. I've got the Soxy Chicks, which is through the Pesky Report. I'm going to get back into doing Bubbly Baseball with Ed Hand. And then I've got some movie podcasts, too. So if you're into that, come hang out.
Perfect. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back later in the week to preview the series against the Cubs.